Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune, Pastor Dusty White, and Chris Hemmelman of Coram Deo Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about work.
Well, that's a really big topic, Nick. What do you mean?
Work? What do you mean work?
Do work, son.
We just want to reflect a little bit on vocation. I think this is an area that the gospel has much to say to, and that Christians are guilty of not thinking very deeply about. And so we're only going to scratch the surface in the next 20 minutes or so, but we want to reflect on how the gospel changes our understanding of work and our interaction in society about work. Here's what I'm provoked by. You guys know that I'm working with some people to try to launch up a new school in Omaha. And part of the vision for that school is a vision of education for the glory of God, in the sense that, like, all of knowledge is meaningful because all of knowledge is connected to God and God's world in some way. And as I've done a lot of reading on sort of philosophy of education and how do we sort of educate children, one of the things that a lot of people say about modern education is that we've traded knowledge and understanding and the value of just knowing things because they're good to know for a model of education that's primarily a tool metaphor of, like, here's the tools you need in your toolbox to be able to succeed in business or in life or in getting a job. And if you pay attention to how education is talked about, it tends to all be about what job do you want to have when you get out, and here's the path you should get on then in order to succeed in that field. And, you know, my oldest son is 16, and so we've started to look at colleges, and it's amazing to me how many colleges are, like, the program is not, hey, we want you to be a well-rounded, knowledgeable person, but just, oh, if you want to be an engineer, here's all the classes you need to take to go be able to be successful in that field. And so that's got me thinking about work, because here's what I've noticed. When I was a kid, the lady checking us out at the grocery store and the guy working at the gas station and, you know, the guy that mowed the lawn or shoveled the snow off the driveway or, you know, even drove the garbage truck. These were all, like, meaningful professions that people had who were living a normal life and trying to raise a family or trying to, you know, do life. And there was a sense of, like, we lived in this community with this diverse type of vocation. What I've noticed in the course of my lifetime is that those, like, you think about who checks you out of the grocery store, it's probably a high school kid. Maybe it's a person with a high school diploma, a less educated person. Rarely is it the kind of person you're like, oh, this person, like, lives next door to me. It's like the, you know, it's like the person down the street. Who is the person in your neighborhood? That Sesame Street song, you know, of, like, the grocer is the person in your neighborhood. That's not true anymore. What we've done is, because we've made work primarily about economic production, how much money can I make? What you see is the spectrum is shifting. I'm convinced there's certain roles and vocations and jobs that we see as honorable because they're high paying. There's a whole nother segment of jobs that I think we see as less honorable or even dishonorable because they're entry level, they're menial, they're sort of like starting level jobs. And if you hear, it's funny if you hear people talk about, you know, job training and job skills and education, it's always about how can you make the most money possible. We're almost never asking the question, what are you well suited to do? What kind of role should you have in society? What are the meaningful professions and vocations that you could find meaning and significance in based on who God has made you to be or the particular temperament that you have? And so my frustration as a pastor is I wonder if Christians are maybe the people in society who think the least about this and need to think the most about it. Mm-hmm. Do we have an opportunity here to redeem how the city around us thinks about work and job and vocation? Because the doctrine of vocation in both Catholic and Protestant literature has always been something Christians have thought very deeply and meaningfully about, and it's always been connected to more than just how much money can you make. But we've sort of turned it into, like, the only function of a job is to provide for you financially, and so how much money can you make? Go get that job that pays you the most money. Mm-hmm. And it's troubling to me that I think we're moving toward a society where some of the jobs that we rely on every day, we don't invest those jobs with honor. And so people don't feel that that's honorable work, and that affects how motivated they are to do it. There's a whole culture surrounding the honor of work that I think is interesting. You can see it in the difference between Chick-fil-A and McDonald's. Chick-fil-A is a Christian company run by a Christian man. They pay their employees pretty well, but more importantly, they create a culture of that's honorable. It's honorable, right? It's honorable to work here. It's honorable to be part of this team, and we're providing an important service, even though our service is chicken sandwiches.
It's my pleasure.
Exactly. And so the response is, it's my pleasure. You're like, I've never met a Chick-fil-A employee who looks like they're punching their card and they can't wait to get out of there. But every time I go to McDonald's, I'm like, dude, this person running the drive-thru is punching their card and they can't wait to get out of here so they can go smoke a joint. I mean, it's a whole different...
Wow.
It's just a whole different kind of...
Yeah.
There's a whole different kind of culture that's present in that organization, though it's in the same sector of the economy. They're both fast food restaurants. And so I think that says something about what a gospel vision of work creates versus what a very functionalistic, materialistic understanding of work creates.
So how do we develop a culture of honoring work other than increasing the wages that a particular job might earn? So to use your McDonald's analogy, there's been strong movement to push how much McDonald's workers make. And
right, because that's the only thing it's about.
Right, right. Exactly, exactly. So
that's the only thing that's meaningful is how much money you make.
Yeah, so that's obviously where we are as a culture. So what else? What are other markers? What are other ways that we as Christians can speak into this to show... you know, honor to certain professions without necessarily saying, hey, they need to make, you know, $15 an hour.
The answer to that is in James chapter 2, isn't it?
Boom.
Show no partiality. Show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And then there's a discourse here on, you know, a man coming into your assemblies wearing gold and fine clothing. And then there's you treat the poor man differently than you treat the rich man. But at the end of the day, James brings it back to, you know, the second part of the greatest commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so interesting to think through. I mean, that's a simple biblical answer to your question, not very robust. It's interesting to tie that passage into what you're saying, Bob, about what if it is that I'm still hung up on a comment you said a minute ago, which is maybe it's the church's job to redeem vocation and for Christians to actually start thinking differently about it in the way that we even probably shepherd that stuff in our churches.
Yeah. There's a sense in which there is a functional, like, sure, there's bills to pay, and so you need to make a certain income, and people probably have different earning potentials based on their education and experience and skills and all of that stuff, and that's fine. But I think one answer to your question, Chris, is the starting point is just to honor people in every vocation, and actually that Christians can be, like, I think about it all the time. I'm actually pretty bad at this, but, like, when I have a transaction with someone at the grocery, the person checking me out of the grocery store or at Target or, you know, any sort of like, I just have to talk to a cashier, give them my money, get my stuff and get out of here. I have a tendency to treat that very functionally. Like I'm not, to go back to the thing we talked about last week with presents, you know, I'm not here with a person. I'm just, your job is just to take my money. So hurry up and get over it. Cause I gotta get in the car.
Transaction,
and get out of here,
right? This is a transaction.
Instead of seeing this as like, you're working right now. Mm-hmm. And that's meaningful. Like it's meaningful that you're contributing to society, that you're bettering the common good, that you're not sitting at home doing nothing. And so I want to honor you as a person. I want to honor the job and the role that you're playing. You know, even if I would see that job as like, well, it's a pretty basic job, you know? I think the way that we honor those that serve in any profession, I think, is a way of ratcheting up just a little bit the sense of work as honorable, and that's a starting point.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I saw my youth pastor do when I was young is he would call the cashier by their name. They have a name tag, right? Mm-hmm. So he would say, hey, thanks, Chuck, or thanks, Darlene, whatever their name was. He would ask them how their day was going. And it was odd because he was holding a conversation while there's like three people behind us. But he was showing in those short moments, he was showing that those people were valuable and not just transactional figures who are wearing a company shirt, but yeah. They're people.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we could do too is, you know, valuing everybody is eating more McDonald's.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to bash McDonald's and eat
Chick-fil-A.
Why would
I do that when I could eat Chick-fil-A? They have way better shakes, man. Way better.
Are you upset with the analogy?
He's going rogue right now.
I'm just saying, eat more McDonald's and value those people.
You have
because,
an agenda.
You know, shop at Walmart more. Don't
just
shop at Target.
We're going to need to edit this.
What in the world?
You know what's so
off the rails? Right,
what's fascinating about this whole thing is like, if it's all about just making more money, then nobody's taking the person taking your trash away from your curb every week. That's not an honorable thing. You're going to make more money, so you're going to go out to eat more. But being a waitress is a lowly job, right? So it's just weird how dense we are about where this whole vocation thing has gotten us.
Yeah, because if you think about it, you take away some of those jobs, and society just becomes a very different... Yeah, if I don't
terrible.
Have someone to come and pick up my trash, then that really does change the face of society in many ways. And so... even if we take a step back and think through some of these jobs that we may be less likely to give honor to, they're really doing something that serves us well.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the challenge is that when we don't honor those professions, they're really sucky to work in. Like there was a guy in Coramdale a few years ago who was a recovering addict, and I was trying to help him get and keep work, you know, and he got on a drywall crew because he had drywall finishing skills. And so, but man, that crew was just a crappy place to work. Like the guys on there all had terrible attitudes. A lot of them were addicts, you know, and they had issues with substance abuse. And he just felt like, man, it's just a beatdown every day to go to work, you know, which is sad because like at a skill level, this dude's a freaking good drywall finisher. Like he can crank it out. He could make good money and he can serve an important function, right? He can make a meaningful contribution to the beautification of a property. And yet, because there was no honor, not just from the outside, but within that profession, because the crew he was on was sort of just a, you know, very functional. No one was building a culture, I guess, of life and of honor and of beauty on that crew, and helping them to see what they did as furthering the beauty of the world. Right? That eventually didn't last for him because it just wasn't a life-giving culture. So, I think it. To go a step further, even than what you're saying, Chris, seeing professions not just as, hey, this is an important service that they provide, but as there's a contribution here to the beauty of the world. There's an image of God component here too, right? Picking up trash is not just a good function for a city not to smell bad. It's a beautification, right? Yeah. It's a taking away of something that's ugly and getting it out of the way in ways that allow the city to be more beautiful. That's honoring to the Lord. And so I think giving the image of God component in each profession, helping people begin to see that, is a meaningful way that we start to raise the honor level and the vision of each profession.
There are two thoughts that come to mind here. One is this reflects the mandate God gave us in the garden in the sense that all of this work, this beautification, is an extension of cultivating the creation that God has given us. And so, Bob, I like the way you frame that is seeing this as beautification work, cultivating the creation of God. And so in giving work that kind of value, because we are image bearers. The second piece of the thought that came to mind was Paul's analogy of the body. And so we see this in the church of how... all parts of the body serve a function and they're all important. And so I wonder if an extension of this is the way in the church, why we don't want to just value pastors or deacons or gospel community leaders, but we want to value all who serve in the church and give to the church, all roles, that we can take this and extend it to the world as well and say, hey, you might be in a position of work that doesn't get all the honor, so to speak, but it's an important function because you are contributing to society. You're a part of what makes society work well. And for us to devalue that would be, you know, analogous for the church anyway, to say we devalue certain positions. So I think there's categories in scripture that allow us to find value and honor in all types of jobs.
A few thoughts. If you're a business owner, or if you contribute in any way to the shaping of a culture in a workplace, I hope you take this podcast and just see it as your job of beautifying that culture, raising the honor of the work that the people around you do and its sense of meaningfulness because it images the God who gave us work in the first place. And then secondly, if you're in a profession, I would urge you to think about what are the ways that profession images God or beautifies the world or contributes to the common good, so that there's something more meaningful driving your everyday work than just I'm getting a paycheck or, you know, I like what I do, but something bigger, something grander driving your vision of what you do and why you do it. I think this is important too as we raise kids. You know, I have four kids, and man, I've already started having the conversation with my kids of like, hey, don't go to college just because it's the next thing to do after high school and some counselor tells you should. Like, maybe you should be a plumber. Maybe you should be a drywall person. Maybe you shouldn't go to college at all. Maybe there's other meaningful types of work that don't require you sitting in a classroom for four more years and getting another degree. It's not that college is bad, but I think it's interesting that college has become sort of like just the next step after high school without a meaningful reflection on who are you, what has God created you to do, and how do you play that role in a way that brings out the fullness of who you are.
Yeah. And I think even, you know, beyond that, especially as a Christian, you have to be asking the question, is going to college this day and age even a wise investment of my dollars, right? Especially the way education's going. Yeah. So
here's an interesting thing. This is just an anecdote. I was reading over the Thanksgiving holiday, my great-grandparents' life story. They emigrated here in 1902, and they had 10 children. And one of the things that one of their daughters wrote, who's now dead, but she said, you know, so they had 9 daughters and 1 son. So a lot of women in their house, and they were responsible to sort of help them get educated. And one of the things that she said, this daughter had gone on to be a public school teacher and taught for a long time. And as she reflected on her parents' life, she said, I'm so thankful that they told me to be a teacher because they knew that that would fulfill me. And there, as I read that, there was this sense that they hadn't said, hey, what do you want to do when you grow up? But they had actually guided her and said, hey, you have some skills I think the vocation you should pursue is teaching. And she was thankful to them for that because it was actually, she knew that they knew her and that it was actually fulfilling for her. And they knew that because they knew her as their daughter. Mm-hmm. And so it raised for me the importance of a community speaking into children in those formative years of teenage and post high school and helping them see, hey, here's what you're good at. Here's what you ought to go do. We should get away from this, like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? Like that completely individualistic. You can be anything you want. Cause that's not true. No. You can't be anything you want. It's not true that anyone can grow up and be the next president of the United States. We need to stop saying that. Cause that absolutely is not true.
Yeah.
So shaping a community where we honor every profession and where we're helping especially teenagers find their place in the world by reflecting on who are they, what are they good at, how's God made them, what contributions might be life-giving to them in society, that would be a really rich way for us to honor and live out more fully a robust doctrine of vocation in the church.
Let me play devil's advocate one time.
Go.
If it's about vocation and I can still make a lot of money, what should I do with my life?
God has gifted some people with the capacity to make boatloads of money, and they should absolutely do that because it furthers the common good. And because if they're a Christian, they're going to invest much of that money in God's kingdom purposes, and that's why God wants them to flourish in that. So, yeah, we need to not underemphasize the economic piece of it. That's an important piece of it. And I don't think it's wrong for people to want to make the maximum amount of money that they can in a vocation. But it matters that it's the right vocation. It's funny, Dusty, how many guys and women that we talk to that are like 29, 30, 31, and that like are in a vocation they don't love, and they're starting to go, crap, why am I doing this? You know, and it's because the only reason they got into it was because, well, what makes the most money? And they didn't think about, what am I suited for? What am I made to do? And it's fun to see people shift vocations and get into something of like, oh, yeah, that's what you're made to do. Like, you're going to be great at that. And there's beauty in what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you accept what you were made to do and you fully embrace that and go at it, there's a weight that just gets lifted, you know, off your shoulders, and God blesses that work too.
And the what you were made to do thing doesn't need to be overwhelming to people. Cause I think even that phrase can feel like, well, I don't know what I'm made to do, you know?
Right.
But I think about the movie Chariots of Fire and that runner, Eric Liddell, and the famous phrase in that movie, he says something like, you know, God made me such and such, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm-hmm. And the sense is like God made me really fast. And so when I run, I know God's happy because he made me this way. Mm-hmm. And so for Eric Little, there's a sense of, I understand who I am. I'm obviously really fast. And it's glorifying to God for me to use that speed, and because it makes me feel fully alive, and it's honoring to him to use it. And I think that's arriving at what God made me for is sort of like that. It's just mm-hmm. understanding who am I? What has he made me good at? What particular aptitudes and skills do I have? It may take me 10 years to figure it out. You know, mm-hmm. like as I try different vocations, it's rare that someone's going to jump at age 18 into the ultimate vocation, or at age 22 or at age 25. So there needs to be probably some trial and error, but we're just trying to here highlight the importance of honoring every vocation and really recovering a rich and full mm-hmm. doctrine of vocation in the church that can help us see more broadly the fullness of how the gospel speaks to this.
Yeah. And if you don't know, a good place to start is just to start asking trusted people around you what you're actually good at and what you actually should stop doing. You know, those are always humbling conversations, but you know, have some thick skin and just take it, you know, listen and say, hey, what should I actually be doing this? No, you shouldn't be. Well, okay. What should I be doing? I don't know, but you should stop doing that. You know, you know, those are good conversations. Cause in the end, down the road, you're thankful for those kinds of conversations and you realize what you're made for and what you're not made for. So part of figuring out what you should do is also figuring out what you shouldn't do. Ask people.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's conversation. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in and we pray that the things that we've talked about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Please join the conversation by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha, and we'll talk to you again next week on the Wednesday Conversation. Who wants McGriddles?
Whatever, I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
Hey, breakfast all day. Give me